This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
The aftermath of every social revolution brings about change. Cultural norms and landmarks shift as our minds and hearts expand beyond the familiar. To everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose in the land of the living. This is our time to renew, revive, and restore the hope lost to the busyness of life. This is our time to dig again and rebuild from the storms of our past on a solid footing that holds. Welcome to The Foundation.
The Foundation.
The Foundation of Hearts Grant is brought to you by Alive, Barnful Bones, Burger King, Commonwealth Bank, Da Vinci Printing Innovators, Epic Battery, Grand Bahama News, Marcos Pizza, the Ministry of Tourism, the National Insurance Board, Printmasters, and Ross Electric Motors.
Excuse me for the interruption, but he come and the way reminded to say this coming Friday, and a police gonna roll the lawn. You went to see my number one town round town, and it's a Friday evening, boom! The people them tired of working, fella, fella, Lord, them hear the disco playing, boom! It make them feel like dancing, ain't no summer set.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. 96.9 FM radio. Howard Grant in your company, The Foundation. It is a beautiful Friday evening. Bim! Warm and easy selected tonight. We're going to be talking about it the entire day today for the entire show. I have been commandeered by the Minutes campaign to be able to come down here and talk to you guys about the official campaign launch of what's happening down here at the Bahama Hotel tonight, beginning at 7 p.m. It's going to be the official campaign launch. If you can hear in the background, they got sound check. They got everything going on. Enthusiasm gone to bed. Everyone's out here geeked up and ready to go. I don't know if they're wearing all their F&M clothes now. What you going to wear this evening? My God. We're going to see. We got everything laid out for you guys, ladies and gentlemen. I want you to be able to do that. Make sure you pick up your Guardian newspaper. Got a shout out to my good, decent people over at AFS Insurance Agents and Brokers. They got everything laid out for you. Make sure you get on there. If you're in the market for a taxi, your jitneys, your SDs, you need plates for all those, your liveries, make sure you go down there and check them out. 3411 AFS. 3411 AFS. They got everything laid out for you. Please check them out. Number 407 Blue Hill Road South. Got a shout out to Da Vinci Printing Innovators. They got everything available for you. They're on the intersection of Wolf Road, Bernard Road, Village Road, Soldier Road, right there on the northern side. You can be able to see them. They got everything available for you. I'm telling you, if you got this kind of a scribble in your head and you want to be able to put it on paper, but you want it to pop, you want it to have that professional presentation as you try to be able to present that to your MP or whatnot, go and do that. Do that with style, with pizzazz. Ensure that the presentation pops and we can be able to see if we can get on contract. Guys, go down there and check out Da Vinci's Printing Innovators. They got everything available for you. And I gotta shout out my good people down at Coco Plum Bistro. We had a beautiful time. I told you it was a little humid. I can't fight them for that. But Mother's Day was an awesome time. I gotta shout them out down there. Go down to Coco Plum Bistro. They got a great deal that's up for you. I'm gonna talk to you more about it from the 1 o'clock hour as we try to be able to check them out this weekend. Again, Coco Plum Bistro. Guys, pick up your Guardian newspaper. The government to tougher firearms act. It's peculiar. I want to be decent about this. It is peculiar to me, right? As we identify these things and we move towards more of a political time, the POP in their particular capacity seems to, I don't know whether or not it's a red herring. So we can build a hospital. And then, you know, the next day we're having more conversation about marijuana. Is it to shift? Or is this a part of the objective and so forth and so on? Do you really believe that they're going to be able to pull these things to the forefront? We're going to find out more about that as we check these things out. I'm going to be able to bring on one of my very good friends called me this morning. Let me see if he can come on. He said, how would I listen to you every day? I ain't going to call your name. But I'm hoping that you come and sit with me so we can talk more about what this administration seeks to be able to do leading up to 2026. Guys, let me see that. Darvo says that we can negotiate better deal on Chinese labor. This is peculiar. I want to talk more about this. I see that we are continuing to be almost marginalized as a society and identify to empower other persons over the small amount of persons that are here who are looking relentlessly for an opportunity. Let's have a good conversation about that. Man on bail murdered. Let's find out more about this. We see that there's a continuation and an escalation of crime. I'm really hoping that this evening, Dr. Minnis actually lays out a crime plan, an agenda to be able to really tackle crime. I think that that's one of the things that we want to hear. Also, new law will greatly assist in speeding up trials. This is what the AG says. So I'm happy to be able to do that. Happy to have these particular things. One of my good friends is here sitting down with me. I haven't seen him in a very long time. I only could see him when he popping off the plane. My God. Standing strong and being able to do a great deal of things. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to be able to introduce you to former cabinet minister, none other than Renwood Wells. My brother, good afternoon. How are you doing today?
Good afternoon, Howard, and to your listening audience. It's such a joy and a pleasure to be with you, my friend, to be able to just speak to you and to the people whom I love so much. You know, to me, the Bahamian people are the most creative, innovative, and passionate people on the planet. There is no group of people like us whose manifest destiny is still being realized. I look forward, Howard. I look forward tonight. You know, I'm excited. We were just listening to that song, The Return of the Mac. And that's what's going to happen.
That's a big song.
Oh, big song.
Now, listen to me. Last time I saw you, I had a nice little gray goatee on you. Right? I thought you were in a season of goatee. But I can see that you're getting ready for campaign. You're going back to your baby face. Talk to me about it. How you feel? You feeling good?
I'm very, very, very good. I'm very, very good. The Lord has been good to me. My health is good. I am so happy to be able to engage in ways that I always have. You know, my heart is always with the Bahamian people and where they ought to be. Just trying to win the future for them. I believe in servant leadership. I believe in being able to work in areas of the country that is open to you, and to have the kind of effect to just move the country in the direction it ought to. And I believe that today is just the beginning of that once again.
You have never wavered of your support and your position for Dr. Minnis and being able to take on this kind of a position, even as we hear this relentless pushback to say whether or not he's going to be successful come June 1st, you still stand steadfast in your support for Dr. Minnis. Talk to me about that.
Well, I'll tell you, I support Hubert Alexander Minnis because he has been tested, tried, and proven in the most difficult of circumstances. There is no doubt about his capacity to be able to bring solutions to problems in the midst of those issues. We were able as an administration under his leadership to bring prosperity in perilous times. I want to say that again. We were able under his leadership of Dorian and COVID-19 to bring prosperity in perilous times. So could you imagine what is possible in peacetime? And we did show some of that. In the first 2 years of our administration, we had the lowest unemployment in 10 years in May of 2019. We created 14,000 new jobs. We had the lowest debt since the 1990s in the Bahamas, the lowest debt percentage. We got the debt down to 1% of GDP. And so at the end of the day, we showed in peacetime what was possible. And we showed even more so in perilous times what was possible, real leadership that took this country through the most difficult period in its history. And the proof of the pudding is in the eating, because now we're on the other side of that. And look at what the Lord has done. Look at where we are as a nation as a result of the hard decisions, the heavy lifting that was done by the Hubert Alexander Minnis's administration for 4.5 years.
I want to talk to you about this. Now, one of the things that the show has pruned for and identified, I'm sure you've been listening, I'm sure persons listen, and they know me, that I really want to be able to strip down the layers of
the talking points, the layers of the rhythm of politics, and get to the heart of the matter. I think more than anything, for the purposes of transparency, for the purposes of vulnerability, that Dr. Minnis needs to be able to have, and all those who support him needs to be able to have this kind of a conversation. So I'd like to kind of peel back on some layers. I'd like to be able to talk about that. Just for the purposes of transparency, I know that in your space you support him, and in your space you can be able to do these things. Then talk to me about it. The PRP continues to be able to identify their growth, their progressive growth to 2019. Talk to me about 2019 and what the Minnis administration at that time has done. This is pre-Dorian. This is pre-COVID. Talk to me about the focus of the capital of the Bahamas during this particular time.
I tell you, our focus was basically on opening up economic possibilities for the Bahamian people, empowering the Bahamian people, and being able to fix our economy so that we would be in a position to do even more so for the Bahamian people. And what did we do? When we came into government on day one, we met a $440 million debt. On day one of cabinet, the cabinet of the Bahamas had to borrow $440 million, Hubert Alexander Minnis's administration. We then went back into cabinet and found out that we were going to have to borrow another $322 million. All of this is documented.
We remember
the fiscal year, 2017-2018. So in a matter of a month, in order to stabilize the economy of the Bahamas, we had to borrow $722 million in order to be able to keep our economy moving forward in 2017-2018. And what did we do? By 2019, our debt was down to 1%. The previous 5 years before the Minnis administration, documented again, the Bahamian people can go and Google it, this country had no growth. From 2012 to 2017, we grew the Bahamian economy in 2017-2018 and in 2018-2019. This is documented by the World Bank and the IDB. Now, we also in 2019 had the most tourist arrival in the history of the Bahamas. 7.2 million tourists, and Howard, I want you to remember now, this is the year that Dorian struck the Bahamas in September, at the beginning of September. So we lost September, October, November, December growth, because both Grand Bahama and Abaco, our second and third economic pillars, were taken offline by Dorian. And in December, we were in the midst of planning for a potential pandemic. So And as I said to you earlier, the Bahamian people can Google it. In May of 2019, it was reported that we had the lowest unemployment in 10 years, down around 9.2%, I believe it was, and we'd created 14,000 new jobs for the Bahamian people. We had fixed the downgrades, and by going into Europe, we made a decision as an administration that we were going to put an embassy in Brussels. The head of the European Union, to be able to sit down with those global leaders in Europe and to know exactly what was taking place so that we were not blindsided.
This is all in 2019.
This is stuff we did in 2019.
Now, I want to be able to get into this now. I got to take a commercial break. I want to be able to get deeper into this, because if you started off on a good wicket, even started with this concept and idea of being able to rock with Doc, by the end of that, there was a shift in the atmosphere, a shift in the sentiment, a shift in the position. We need to know what happened between the inception and the departure to talk about why the opportunity for revival, why the opportunity for now to be able to remain or get back to a point to be able to move forward. Guys, I'm here with none other than Member Bells being able to talk to us about it. And I got my good friend Jit Comer. He's going to be talking to me about a couple of things when we get back right after this.
Elaine, you hear what boss man was saying in the back there just now?
About what? The luncheon?
Why are you always worried about food? No, about how we gotta pay a little more for national insurance.
Mildred, you talking fool. I can't afford to pay that.
And you're always crying palm out. Ain't gonna be much. Boss still gotta pay. 1st of July, 2024.
I think that premium benefit is what did help my boy Tony through the pandemic. Oh. That same unemployment benefit. And guess what?
What?
Susan, I think she'd get a pregnancy benefit, eh?
You mean maternity benefit, eh? So now, we gotta do our part to make sure we get our pension. All right.
For more information, visit NIPRateIncrease.com.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Excuse me for me to interrupt, Sean. Before you come, I'm a quick reminder to say, this coming Friday, I'm please come over the lawn. You're going to see my number one sound around town. And it's a Friday evening. Boom! The people have died.
We are back. 96.9 FM radio, Howard Grant in your company, the foundation. Beautiful day. It's a great day to have a conversation about leadership and how we're moving in a particular direction here in the country. I am grateful for that. Grateful to be able to talk about these things. I'm here sitting down in Bahama Convention Center, right here at the New Providence Ballroom, getting prepared. The place is lathered in red and blue. There's enthusiasm. There's excitement. People are moving about trying to get everything prepared for this evening. At 7 p.m. tonight, Dr. Minnis and his entire campaign wants you to know that it's an open invitation for all in Sanjay to be able to come and support him as he's vying for this position as leader, again, in the Free National Movement come June 1st. I'm excited to be able to talk about that. At the top of the hour, you heard me having conversations with none other than former Cabinet Minister Randall Bells, and being able to identify some of the things that was happening from this particular perspective. We're going to dive deeper into those conversations and talk about that. Before we do that, I got to be able to introduce someone who's relentless in being able to advocate for Dr. Minnis. Can I say that? Before I know Dr. Minnis, bro, I only imagine him sitting in his taxi having long conversations with me. Howard, let me tell you. You see, if you didn't know, listen to me. Rich history, rich information. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to introduce you to none other than Kendall Jit Culmer. My brother, say good afternoon to the people out there.
Good afternoon, Guardian Radio folks. I'm happy to be here today.
He got all his F&M clothes today. My God.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You're still rocking with Doc.
I am still rocking with Doc.
This is your old-time friend. Talk to me about it.
Well, Howard, you know, my journey through politics is an interesting one. I started in 1966. November, which was the dawning of the 1967 general elections. And, you know, at that time I was a young man. I didn't know much about politics. I didn't had much conversation with anybody about politics, except some friends grabbed me and say, hey, look, let's go. What you doing tonight? You ain't doing nothing? Come go with me. I ended up in the St. Agnes constituency. Cecil Vincent Wallace Whitfield was the candidate for the Progressive Liberal Party. I didn't know him, never met the man before in my life, but we ended up together later on that night and we had a conversation. And you know how old people go?
You wasn't old at the time, stop it. No, I could feel like Jerry Curl juice was on you. You were doing your thing.
I'm talking about old people.
Okay, I'm not going to punch you. Go ahead.
And the first question Cecil asked me was, what's your name? Kendall Culmer. Boy, who's your pa? Raymond Culmer. Said, I know your pa. He's a good man. And we went from there. I came to be introduced to Sir Lyndon later in the campaign, but we did not have much to say to each other's. Cecil was one who was always optimistic. And I remember Sir Lyndon asking him, what do you think about the elections? Can we win? He had doubts. Cecil said, we gonna win. And this young fellow who was listening to that old man, I said, that's my man. And he's been my man ever since.
And that's Cecil.
Yes.
The F&M has taken significant twists and turns since then.
The FNM has found itself in the position from Cecil Wallace Whitfield's leadership, Hubert Ingraham's leadership, Tommy Turnquest, and then Dr. Minnis. Back to Hubert Ingraham, Dr. Minnis, and now the leadership is under the auspices of Michael Pintard. Throughout the course of leadership or the shifting of leadership, has your allegiance been to the initial concept and idea for that freedom fighters, for the free national movement, or has the philosophy shifted over the time?
You know, I always go back to Sir Cecil. He was one who always thought that the best should be given to the people of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, mm-hmm. starting with education. Mm-hmm. I remember him saying, where there was no light, there's now light. And we're talking about constituency in New Providence. There were no lights in many parts of New Providence, even in the city. St. Ignace, which was next door to Bay Street, there were a lacking of street lights. And he said, my people must get the best. And he had a trip to Fort Lauderdale, I think it was, and he saw some school buildings. No windows, only doors to get inside. So it was fully air conditioned. And he came back and he said, my people in Bayentown and St. Ignace will have that same kind of facility for education. Hence, you have the Uriah McPhee School and the
Stephen Dillett
School. They're still functioning today.
Yes.
Children are being educated in fully air-conditioned classrooms.
Back to the philosophy, can that bode to the commitment that the Free National Movement has made over the course of time and its history to the people of the Bahamas? Is this what we could expect all the time as it relates to above-board, forward-thinking, forward-moving organization that really seeks to empower people? Has it remained consistent since then?
I am a diehard FNM. Mm-hmm. I believe in the core principles of Cecil Vincent Wallace Whitfield, who was the founder of the Free National Movement. Nothing that he said to me or he gave to me, I have departed from. We were successful when we became the government in 1992 because of some of those same core principles.
Do you believe that Dr. Minnis embodies or has any of those principles?
Oh, yes.
He does?
Oh, yes. Starting with education. Remember, he said, free preschool by government. Mm-hmm. Children must begin school mm-hmm. at a lower age. Mm-hmm. So when they move from one point to the next,
they're prepared.
There is no gap. Yeah. Okay? And you know, you wonder why there are some people who have a lacking in understanding and education. It is because they started too late. You know, the first teacher is your mommy and your daddy, mm-hmm. okay? Mm-hmm. And then it goes from where your mommy and your daddy got to go to work, mm-hmm. and your children have all those hours between 1 year and 4 years doing nothing with. We say, let's put them in school. Put them in a formalized...
And that's a commitment that the administration had made.
That is a commitment of the Free National Movement. And under the leadership of Dr. Hubert Minnis,
yeah.
it will continue.
I want to know this now. When we're here, we're talking, we watch your transition, we watch your budding passion in politics. We've watched you and your commitment, your friendship, your loyalty. And finding yourself at the footsteps or the doorsteps of the Free National Movement, being able to step in, unassured, not necessarily knowing what was going to happen, but seeking to be able to ensure that you could be able to still lend yourself to national discourse from a political standpoint. You found yourself in the Free National Movement. I want to know from you. Talk to me about the strength of the philosophy of the Free National Movement since you were involved. From the history that you've heard, from the passion that is displayed right now, Talk to me about those particular things and let me know what you've seen over the course since you've come into the Free National Movement.
I tell you, Howard, as Jit was just reiterating, the Hubert Minnis administration, as he spoke to the fact that Cecil Vincent Wallace Whitfield was committed to education, we were committed to education, and we believe it was a way to economically empower the Bahamian people and give them the requisite tools that they needed. That is why, as Jit was mentioning, we started preschool. We paid about $2,500 per student for folks for throughout this country to be able to enter preschool and to be able to, as Jit said, to be able to ensure that they did not have any gaps in their education when they entered first grade. But not only that, during our tenure, we increased the graduation rate for schools from 45% to 60%, documented. Not only that, we decided that we were going to cause to happen, and we did. Free tertiary education at all of our institutions. At UB, it became free for those who qualified to get in. BTVI, free for those who qualified to get in. And if you didn't want to go to BTVI to get a technical trade skill, or you didn't want to sit down and get a bachelor's degree at UB in whatever sector or area that you so choose, we then made BAMSI free. If you were interested in the marine research and in fishing and in agriculture, so across the entire educational spectrum, we empowered our people. We deployed IT systems and Wi-Fi in our schools. We even started online classes so that folks would be able to, if they were missing a particular class, they can go and view that tape of the math, the science. And we believed that what we had done in that regard was going to inure completely to us being able to educate our people and empower them. Is Speaking it, about the principles of the Free National
Is it presumed
Movement,
or assumed that the base of what the PLP seeks to do right now is based upon a foundation or a base that was created by the Free National Movement?
Absolutely. That's why I said to you at the beginning of the show, Howard, I said the proof of the pudding is in the eating of what the Minnis administration did. Look at how quickly this country rebound after COVID. The banks rebound instantaneously. Our civil service rebound instantaneously. Why? Because we borrowed $1.5 billion. We injected that into the Bahamian economy, okay, as a bailout for our people to ensure that our people were working, that they were able to pay their mortgages, they were able to buy food. And for those who said, listen, we weren't in a position to be able to purchase the kind of foods that we would have wanted, we started a food program. For those who were in the private sector, we gave them $200 a week, who were in the tourism sector, who were out as a result of COVID. And so when you look at our response mm-hmm. of the love that we displayed for our people, mm-hmm. okay, there is no doubt about it. Mm-hmm. So when we lost the election, all of the platforms, the programs, the principles were there in place to continue the growth. And let's remember, Howard, what I said. I said we had prosperity in perilous times. In August and September of 2021, in the height of the pandemic, mm-hmm. We received $90,000 $90 million in revenue as an administration. The Progressive Liberal Party didn't receive $90 million in revenue over those three quarters until 2023.
You see, what I like to talk about, and I'm glad that you're here with me. Guys, some great people just walked in. We can have further conversations as we kind of tiptoe into the second hour. But what I want to talk about with you, Renward, is being able to be very clear about some stuff. Let's talk and let's shoot straight with the thing. The sentiments shifted. Now, the technocrats could identify on paper what is being done. Those particular things that we know that are moving the country may not necessarily be right now, but in the future, they could be the base of the true growth that we see in the country.
Yes.
But an instant gratification, the dispensation that we're in, and people being able to say, I want my money and I want it now, that mindset that exists in this particular generation, the sentiments had shifted from 2019. By the end of 2020, the sentiment had shifted away from Dr. Minnis. And the idea about why he's done this, why he's done that, I'm kind of nitpicking to his leadership. I want to know from you that particular perspective, because time is a teller of all, right? And in retrospect, as we look back, can we compare what is happening from a global standpoint, what is happening from a local standpoint. Can we look at that and say, I believe that Dr. Minnis got us prepared for where we're going to be going into the future? That's the kind of conversation I'll have with you.
Yes, yes.
You see what I'm saying?
And as I said to you earlier, Howard, I mentioned the things that we would have done during the pandemic that prepared us for the future.
Yes.
During perilous times.
Yes.
I will tell you, the shift in the mindset of the Bahamian people came as a result of how do you look at what is taking place? Mm-hmm. Are you going to say this is the right decision in the moment, in the midst of crisis? And who are you going to project your particular emotions and feelings onto in those moments? Remember, the Bahamas was the only country on the globe that went into the COVID-19 pandemic on the heels of the worst storm in the history of the Atlantic. I want to say that again.
So essentially, we were broken going in.
We were a broken system going into COVID. Remember what I said? Our second and third economic pillars, $4 billion worth of income that came into the Bahamas, was out of commission in Grand Bahama, in Abaco, in September of 2019. The virus appeared in December of 2019 in Wuhan, China.
Yeah.
The pandemic was not declared until March
of 2020. Yeah.
Most countries around the globe understood what we were seeing. And in January, the then Minister of Health, along with the Prime Minister, came to the cabinet and said, listen, gentlemen, we believe that this is going to be a pandemic. We need to prepare. But understand what we were doing, Howard. We were preparing in the midst of a storm. We just came out of Dorian. We just came out of Abaco. No electricity in Abaco. No running water. Houses completely destroyed. Grand Bahama. We're dealing with a crisis and preparing for a looming crisis. So some decisions needed to be made.
Yeah.
And the first decision Hubert Minnis said was, I'd rather lose an election. I was sitting around that cabinet table. He said, I'd rather lose an election by doing right things than to lose a country and to lose the lives of our people. Here is what we ought to be doing. So we made that up front. So then we began to try this balancing act between saving lives and livelihoods. But the saving lives was the most important aspect of things. So anytime there became a decision as to should we make a decision to save an economy or our people, saving our people was what we decided. And I'll tell you this. Howard, we said this, right? Our thing was this. See, as politicians, as a scientist and engineer, as economists and lawyers, we know how to revive an economy that is dead. We know how to create jobs that is dead. So reviving a Bahamian economy can't be the first priority.
No.
We don't know how to bring people back from the dead. I only know any one man that I know of in history had that claim to fame, that was able to raise people from the dead. So knowing that we could revive an economy, our decision was to keep our people alive as best that we could and to do the things that was necessary, because we knew we could revive an economy. And we proved that.
Yeah.
Because look at what the Lord has done. We're here today.
Now, I want to talk to you about
basking
this.
Basking in those decisions.
As we're talking about revival, we're out here, ladies and gentlemen, right here at Bahama, the Nassau Convention Ballroom. We're here. We got everything available for you. We're going to be able to be here tonight. If you guys are going to make a decision, we want you to be able to come out at 7 p.m. tonight and see the revival. Because this is what you're talking about.
Absolutely.
You said that only one man was able to do it.
We
I want to know whether or not this could be the revival of Dr. Hubert Alexander Minnis on this particular go-around. Let me take this quick commercial break, ladies and gentlemen, and be right back after this.
Contact DaVinci Printing Innovators today for all your printing needs. Customized receipt books, NCR forms, invitations, event tickets, program booklets, business and ID cards, flyers, posters, and banners. There's scanning, printing, lamination, and binding services. Also, a variety of office supplies. No design, no problem. Dedicated graphic designers are ready to serve you. DaVinci Printing Innovators, located in the Village Road Shopping Plaza. Stop in or call 677-2922 or browse services online at www.davinciprinting242.com. Where printing is an art.
Now let me see now. 326-ETIC. Hello? Hello? This Epic? Eckert Battery? This Miss Bueller from round the corner. I hear you're selling tires now on Wolf Road 2.
Praise the Lord. It's about time. I live Fox Hill and Fire Trail. It's too far.
That ain't all. They open Monday to Friday, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. on Sunday and holiday, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m.
My brother Sam, he's a hacker, and he could go right there and get fixed up.
Call us at 326-EPIC. We ship also to the Family Island.
Explore the wonders of the Bahamas at Sun, Sand, and Souvenirs. Brought to you by the Tourism Development Corporation. This 8-store retail treasure chest is located on Bay Street, just 2 doors east of Bayside Food Store. Build a pal with your child. Purchase authentic Bahamian artwork or dazzling jewelry. It's a shopping adventure where the possibilities are endless. We're open 7 days a week, so join us today and let's create a community where innovation and opportunity thrive. See you there.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Foundation. And we are back. 96.9 FM Radio. Howard Grant in your company, the Foundation. We're here live in full effect. It is a beautiful day, and we got some great people out here. I got a text just now. It says, boy, Renwood speaking some fox. He's spitting fox out here. There's a lot of things going on, guys. Please send your text 422-4796. 422-4796. I would take your telephone calls, but unfortunately, I can't hardly hear nothing out here. I know it's the truth. With everything going on in the background, but I can definitely read your text. So please do that. 422-4796. Joining the conversation is none other than Minister Kevin Harris. He's here with us. And also, Brandon McCartney. Let me jump right into Brian. Brian, I only got 10 minutes. If you can be with me the whole time, you got to ask questions. The last time you and I had a conversation, you said, Howard, hypothetically, if Dr. Minister decides to be able to lend himself to leadership, I will support him wholeheartedly, and you are here today. Talk to me about it.
So sad, so done.
Okay, you make a stop.
So sad, so done.
About it. You're here.
You know, when we spoke last time, Dr. Minister was not, had not put himself forward as leader at the time, and I said, you know, if he decides to do that, I will certainly support him 100%. I don't want only to see him as leader of the FNM, but I want to see him as the next prime minister.
I will get into a deep conversation with you because this is a foundation. So we got to be able to strip away the layers. So I want to talk about this. I think leading up to it, especially in your helm, at the helm of the DNA and your particular capacity, there was a sentiment, not necessarily that encouraged the leadership of Dr. Minnis, but throughout the course of time, like I said to Renwood, as we look at time and we look through the annals of the time, the halls of time, through retrospect, we could say, maybe I didn't identify these things the way that I should. Maybe, you know, his leadership is strong in these particular areas. From the point of being able to reflect, what do you see Dr. Minnis' strength as from 2019, 17, all the way to this particular point? What can you be able to identify and put a feather in his hat to say that he's done these particular wonderful things to move the country forward?
Listen, I think Renwood said it earlier today. He is tested, tried, and he is proven. There is no prime minister in living history in this country that had to go through what Dr. Minnis and his administration had to deal with. Two hurricanes, one being a category plus five hurricane, and the COVID-19 pandemic, which was the worst pandemic since the Black Plague of the 14th century. You hear what I say? The 14th century.
That's the worst pandemic.
The worst. Yeah, the worst, yes.
Wow.
Right. And during that time, what did Dr. Minnis do? He saved lives. He saved lives. Before the pandemic and during the pandemic, you would see that the economy was being beneficial to each and every one of us during the pandemic, right? We see the port, the cruise port now, mm-hmm. that the PLP is now claiming that they have 9+ million people for. Well, thanks to Dr. Menas. Started during the pandemic when everybody started talking about he lock us down. Mm-hmm. But yes, he's still doing work, trying to save lives, mm-hmm. trying to feed people, trying to keep people from losing their homes, and of course trying to build the economy at the same time. Right? During the pandemic and during the Menas administration, crime. You spoke about it early today. Crime was at its lowest. And you notice every time the PLP government now, when they make reference to certain things, they go back to 2019. Well, why? 2019 was a pivotal point under the Menas administration, right? That's when you had the most tourists, visitors ever in the country. And then you had the pandemic. You can imagine if the pandemic didn't come, where we would have been.
Minister D'Aguilar actually won a prize or get an award for that. He did win the Caribbean Award for that.
Tourism award. Yes, he did.
He did win the
Caribbean. The country did. Yeah, because of those efforts, because we changed marketing. We changed the way we marketed our country.
You know, it's an amazing thing, you know, Branville, back to what you were saying on this particular trajectory. I think, you know, a lot of persons would say politics makes strange bedfellows, but I don't know whether or not we are really being able to assess. I think I want to know this, and I just want to talk like this. Do you believe, and I'm going to put this question to the table, do you believe that the sentiments that we hear about Dr. Menas is risen from emotion and not necessarily being able to really scrutinize what he has done for the country? Or do you believe that this is sort of the mindset that has taken us over as it relates to being able to vote someone out as opposed to looking at the characteristics that can be able to bring them forward?
Twofold. From what I've gathered, a lot of people in some form or fashion say they're not going to support Menas. And I would say, why? Well, it was something personal to them, i.e. he didn't call me back. This ain't no joke. This is how silly some of us are, right? He ain't call us back. Or he didn't take my advice, so I voted for him. Or you had some people to say, well, you know, he don't know how to talk to people. Oh, Jesus. Ingram know to talk to people? Ingram know to talk to people?
Listen.
The rude boy himself?
I can tell you right now.
Did he know to talk to people? Huh? Did he know to talk to people? I invite him to do it. Please, man. You know? But Ingram don't even call the show. I understand he's a little busy behind the scenes otherwise.
You need to stop.
Understand? I understand. I understand he's a little busy behind the scenes otherwise.
Say what I mean what I say.
My God.
Yeah.
Mike, listen, on the next side of the line, we can talk about this. We can talk about this when we get on the next side.
But let me tell you the other reason. I said it's twofold. The second one is politics. Politics, why people say that. I mean, look at the circumstances of what this country was in. My God. Look at the circumstances we were in. And look what was accomplished during that time. Saving lives, feeding people, keeping people housed, and keeping our economy afloat. Right? And then people, they start talking, well, he lock us down. Well, for the love of baby Jesus, the whole world is locked down. We couldn't go to Miami. You remember, you couldn't even buy toilet paper to rub your wipe your boom boom.
I can tell you the truth.
Do you remember that? And then you turn around, and they're like small children. And this is what I'm going to be talking about tonight as I introduce Dr. Menas.
You introduced him tonight.
I am going to be introducing him tonight at this launch, 7 o'clock.
This beautiful horse.
7 o'clock at the Bahama Convention Center. And it's looking good.
Very good.
This look good.
Ladies and gentlemen, please come down. Come down this evening, ladies and gentlemen. It's wide open for you guys. Come here this evening at 7 p.m. tonight. You're going to be able to meet all the persons who are here. You're going to hear a great deal of persons. Kevin, touch the mic real quick. Let a person know who's going to be speaking with us this evening.
Well, thank you so much, Howard, and good afternoon to the audience. And, you know, Rand has said the stage, Jit Kulmer and Renwood, y'all have done such a wonderful job. And Brian is right. This is going to be a fantastic night. He is scheduled to introduce Dr. Minnis. As organizers, we felt that he would be a tremendous person to do such a thing tonight, and I believe people are going to be excited to hear from Brandon McCartney tonight, and so a lot of people are looking forward to hearing him. Of course, we're also going to be hearing from former Deputy Prime Minister Desmond Bannister in a special message tonight. We're also going to be hearing from my good friend sitting here over 36 years, former Health Minister Renwood Wells tonight. And then there are going to be one or two non-political persons sharing their experience with Dr. Minnis. We have one or two ladies who will be speaking tonight. Antoinette Nesbitt is going to be one of them. She was the candidate for the Women's Association recent elections, which we will not talk about. And second of all, we will also hear from tonight entertainers. Is it Stiletto?
Stiletto
is going to be performing, and Bobo Tino, I think that's his name.
Bobo Tino,
he's going to be performing tonight. So it's going to be a tremendous, great thing for young people, for not so young people. What a great evening of lineup of speakers, entertainers. Make sure you're here because you can get some good reggae and scrape and some good reggae from these guys. And of course, we're going to have Dr. Minnis' brand new song, I Gain with Minnis. Now, you know.
But you bring that to the show.
Man, you're supposed to have the song right here.
Give me a song. Let me put it on thing.
Okay, we can play it.
I got to tell you.
Oh, yeah. You know, you can't imagine food too much now because, you know, boy.
Well,
I want to tell them they better come early.
Well, tell them we can talk about it afterwards.
Yeah,
We got to take a break for news, ladies and gentlemen. Get back. We got all the persons in here to be able to have a great conversation. We're going to take this quick commercial break and be right back after this.
Foundation. The foundation. The foundation. The foundation. The foundation. The foundation.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Foundation. The foundation.
We are back. 96.9 FM radio. Howard Grant and your company, The Foundation. It is a beautiful Friday afternoon, live and in full effect. I know you're getting prepared. You could see a sweet thing in the can, being able to put a sundress together. I'm trying to be able to convince you that she needs a hairstyle, her nails done, and Kong salad. Guys, get yourselves prepared. It's going to be a beautiful weekend. Start that weekend off right. Come down here to the official campaign launch of Dr. Hubert Alexander Minnis right here at the Bahama Hotel, May 7th. 17th at 7 p.m. tonight. 7 p.m. tonight. They got food, they got drinks, they got the whole thing laid out for you. I want Kevin to tell you a little bit more. Minister Kevin Harris is here with us, being able to tell us a little bit more about what the expectations could be this evening when persons come down here to Bahama.
Well, thank you again, Howard. It's going to be an exciting program tonight. We want folks to be able to come and hear, first of all, from the man himself, from Dr. Minnis, who's going to share his thoughts, not only on the stewardship, his period of stewardship over the Free National Movement, but also his period of stewardship over the country. One of the things that he's also going to do is speak towards his handling of those very tough matters that we've been talking about, Hurricane Irma, Hurricane Dorian, and of course, COVID-19. And the reason I believe this is important is because we know a lot of Bahamians still have a lot of questions. We know that some Bahamians felt a little uncomfortable during that period. But the one thing that we all agree, even though we were not all comfortable with all of the measures and the lockdowns, we all agree that lives were saved, that Dr. Minnis and his team did a tremendous job in saving lives. Now, Howard, let me say this. I was one of those individuals that was hospitalized because of COVID-19. First time I ever had to be taken in an ambulance. The fellas came to my house in hazmat suit. You thought that was one of those movies. It was very scary to my brother who was here.
Yeah, I was
hospitalized with COVID-19. I was right after Wayne Monroe. After Wayne got out, I went in. When I got to doctor's hospital, there was no room in the inn. It was that many people with COVID. I had to sleep in the emergency room for 3 days. Can't bed, you can't brush your teeth, you can't do nothing, because there was no room. Everybody was sick. And I was in the middle of that. My good friend here, Reverend Wells, was the Minister of Health. Thank him, and even with Dr. Dwayne Sands, so I thank him as well. And I thank the staff at Doctors. After a few days, they were able to find me a room that I shared with a young man. And it was an interesting experience going through that. You know, you're trying to breathe and you're trying to live. So when you talk about saving lives, I can tell you, my wife, who was away at the time, they were very nervous. You're going to hear tonight the former Deputy Prime Minister Desmond Bannister share about how nervous even people like the cabinet was, because people were dying. So I believe Dr. Minnis and the cabinet, I was a recipient of the policies and how they managed things. The hospital, a doctor's hospital, was run really professionally. Everybody was treated well. Nobody was treated poorly, not when I was there. I want to give kudos to them. I know that PMH was the same. People were doing the best. That's the staff and doctors. They were really overworked and challenged because it was a lot. So when you talk about lockdown, listen, I want to be very real. I would prefer to have been able to stay at home a little bit more with my family, but to be alive, to be at home with more with my family. Many people, including friends and many of us, lost loved ones during that time. And I know that Dr. Minnis, as a physician, and he was very transparent on Jerome Sawyer's show, the tears that came to his eyes. Because as a doctor, you don't want to see anybody die. As a prime minister, you've been given this mantle to lead. And you can't, as former Deputy Prime Minister Desmond Bannister said, and I think Renwood, you said it too, when you looked on CNN, Howard, you remember what was happening in Europe? Remember the amount of deaths in the United States?
You had to go far as Europe. You can remember what happened with Governor Cuomo in New York.
Yes.
You remember what was happening in New York.
Right.
How people were shutting things down and Governor Cuomo was trying to figure out,
yes,
oh my God, we have to be able to come up with some sort of shot or something like that and create our own AstraZeneca and so forth.
Yes,
and so on.
The vaccine opportunity. But I'll tell you one thing Dr. Minnis said I thought was very important that people miss, you know. He said the government had a mandate to control the spread of the virus and try to keep it contained beyond New Providence. Not to go beyond, rather, New Providence and Grand Bahama. Because of the Family Islands. They were so vulnerable, they were too small, that if that virus had gotten into those very small communities, Berry Islands, Ragged Island, etc., they would have been wiped out. So I think a lot of our listeners, we all can agree, yes, uncomfortable it was for lockdowns. We all agree we may have wanted a little bit more freedom. But let's think about it now. We didn't want people to go from Nassau to these small populated sites throughout our family balance. And then we would have had body bags coming out of those areas. We couldn't sustain it. Emotionally, it would have really devastated this country.
One of the things that Dr. Minnis has stated when he sat with Jerome, when he sat with me, even in candid conversations that we've had, one of the things that he continues to be able to talk about is he would fortify communications next time. The sentiments that you convey, that everyone can be able to identify and say that this is the strength of Dr. Minnis, his cabinet, this is the commitment that the cabinet has made in retrospect as we look back at these particular things, was not conveyed to the Bahamian people at that time. At that time, you were in a scurry trying to be able to make sure that you're doing these things. And so the question that I have and I want to be able to put to the table is whether or not, as a result of lack of communication, that everyone is now trying to be able to put a finger on their disdain, put a finger on why they may not necessarily support Dr. Minnis, put a finger on these things, because a lot of what I'm hearing is sentiment. I'm even getting texts right now. And in one of the texts, these are good, decent FNN people. And one of the texts, they say, Howard, I'm an avid listener. I enjoy listening to your show. But the truth of the matter is you're talking foolishness today as Dr. Minnis is paying you. Well, of course, this is a paid advertisement. Let's be very clear about this, right? Let's be clear about that. But the truth of the matter is that there is always something untoward. People believe that you wholeheartedly support something if you present facts. Talk to me about it.
Yeah.
We talked about this, Brad, when you indicated that people are just talking to you from an emotional standpoint and can't put a finger on this. Well, he locked us down. He did that.
You should ask that person why they're not supportive of Minnis. And I bet you they would say one or the other. He locked us down, or Minnis didn't return my call. or something like that.
How could the council members...
Watch me. Ask her. You need to ask her.
I can ask them.
Don't let them write. Just come there and say you talking fool and stuff like that. Don't let them do that. Ask them. Put them on the spot and tell them and ask them to say why you don't or why are you saying these things.
How can... Because there's two parts to this.
Right.
We have to go through the council first before you can get to the general population.
Yes.
This conversation is both to council members and general population. Absolutely. June 1st is step one.
Yes.
Dr. Minnis has to be able to retain this position or attain this position, acquire this position as leader of the Free National Movement before you get to the next general election.
Absolutely.
Now, let's talk about this.
Sure. You know, one of the things...
Why would council members call me and say, Howard, we don't support Dr. Minnis? Now, I want to shoot straight with you because this is the show. This is what we do.
Absolutely.
Half of these people would have never been given an opportunity. I just want to be decent.
Yes.
Many of these people, I never see them because I was in F&M long time with my mother, long time.
Yes.
Under Hubert Ingraham, these people, I've never seen them in the organization. As a result of the commitment and the opportunities extended, many of them, Minnis gave it to them.
I'll say this, Howard.
Why? What happened?
I'll say this, and then Renwick can chime in. Number one, many FNMs, and I want you to hear me carefully, do not share the sentiments that you've expressed, you know. If you look deeper than the organization, they are proud of Dr. Minnis and his former cabinet, which, by the way, included the man who is deciding to challenge Minnis in terms of Michael Pintard. And Dr. Duane Sands. Now, Michael Pintard could not win a seat under the other leader.
This, why would you say it right
this,
now?
This is Fox.
This is, why would you
this
say
is
it
Fox,
right now?
Right? Michael could not win a seat. Michael was given an opportunity. There was a meeting, and a young man by the name of Kevin Harris was in this meeting, Michael Pintard.
Kevin, you spilling the tea.
Yeah, I spill the tea because Michael is my friend. I love him to life. But let's be real and let us be fair. I agitated for Marco City, along with others, not just me, but for my friend. And Michael came to me.
I agitated as well.
In front of the F&M, Howard, and says to me, I heard you were in a meeting. I said, yes. He said, I want to thank you for going to bat for me. That's how we got Marco City. Not only that, when Michael,
I don't want to bat for me in West Grand.
Good God, you should have called me.
Hey, Howard, stay tuned.
So, Howard, let's fast forward to 2021 when Dr. Minnis decided not to contest the then leadership race. Who was the person that called me to assist him to win the leadership of the F&M? My friend Michael Pintard. I worked that campaign. When Michael became the leader, he asked me to come into government with him and to serve as personal assistant to the leader of the opposition. Prime Minister Davis and his cabinet graciously granted that opportunity. The reason I say that is because I have had the chance to work with both of these men in real time, and I've seen the difference in both of their leadership style. You ask, why do some FNMs say what they're saying? I can almost guarantee you, and these gentlemen here, particularly Jit Kalman and others, can attest to the fact that what has happened is that some of the people who Dr. Minnis gave an opportunity to, even some of these so-called former deputy prime ministers you see on television endorsing
and members
people,
of parliament who cussing and canoeing.
Some of these folks, Howard, they got their share. Can you imagine, and Jit Kalman, you could back me up, a fella who made over $500 million under Minnis. Don't go on TV and say you're supporting someone else. I mean, I ain't knocking the fella. I mean, that's him. But the point I'm making now, let's just be real. The former Deputy Prime Minister, Peter Turnquist. Dr. Minnis fought in these very hotel room. I think it was, which one we were at for 2016, Jay? That was Crystal Palace, I think, right? When Peter Turnquist was then deputy leader.
What you doing today? Oh, I didn't know you was getting deep.
You're
getting deep.
Listen, man, this is 2016, and there were some people who did not want Peter Turnquist to be deputy leader of this party.
I remember
this. And they didn't want him to be deputy prime minister.
I remember this.
And Dr. Minnis fought for Peter Turnquist. Let's be factual. Now, Mr. Turnquist,
tell me what you're doing.
Now people
I just
can decide what they want. They can decide what they want.
What people need. Ladies and gentlemen.
But it's okay.
I didn't want to get deep like
Jet Kalmuk can back up. This is F&M history. This is nothing bad. All right, yeah, but I'm not talking about Carl Cummins because he's the last two chairmen of the FNM. It's not been a good experience with the FNM, including the one we got now. All right, and so the one we got now needs to stop what he's doing, and that's my very dear friend who I love to life, Dr. Dwayne Sands. Dr. Sands and my good friend Michael Pintard are doing something that's very bad for the FNM. They are holding these constituency elections.
Are you simply stating that their names are at the forefront because they're the face, or are you being politically correct when you call their names?
I'm saying
because
the
information that continues to float about, in the spirit of decency and order, I would let Randall McCartney reiterate.
That's not a problem. But I can end my little piece by saying, the chairman of the Free National Movement and the leader, the current leader of the FNM. They are not doing what we have been accustomed to. I've never seen this in my 24 years. Dr. Sands know I love him to life, but he know we have had this discussion. I have not seen this kind of leadership style. Not even when Mr. Ingram was there. Mr. Ingram, Mr. Turnquest, Dr. Minnis have all been the custodians of democracy within this organization. I've never seen this. You can imagine.
You think that this is squashing of democracy? This is pushing democracy aside because they could taste their victory right in arm's length? Is this what they're doing?
You say taste what? Victory?
Their victory.
What victory?
Their victory.
No, sir. No, sir.
I'm only saying,
men
is only pursue when they got whatever diamonds before them, they think they can reach it.
Listen, Dr. Sands, no, he got two more weeks on the job.
This is heavy what you're saying.
You understand me? And I love him to life, right? But he got two more weeks, all right? And at the end of the day, the convention would do what it has to do. Now, he know me and him is talk straight, all right? What he is doing as chairman of this organization.
Don't call nobody. See, people call me and cuss me out.
He could call you, but he know I ain't talking. I ain't lying.
Call his number. Give me his number.
Doc went to the media and said, and I make these men can confirm, that he is going to stop these constituency association elections. I didn't say it. He said it. He also called Mr. Burton Miller, the chairman of the Menace campaign, to say to him he's going to stop holding meetings. But 2 days ago, they went down to Freetown to have another meeting and have another election. What I am saying to you is FNMs need to understand we have a choice on June 1st. And that choice is simple. Either we are going to protect this great institution, and the beauty of this institution is that FNM is different from the other fellas. This is about upholding the flame, the torch.
Is that being represented at this particular time?
And I'll tell you this, Howard, just to give you, to piggyback on that, just to give the Bahamian people and FNMs a nugget to chew on. We have a convention committee established in the Free National Movement. I joined the Free National Movement on the 4th of November 2015.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember 2016 and the convention and what was taking place inside the Free National Movement with Loretta Butler Turner and Hubert Minnis. Let me show you leadership.
Now, you didn't
say convention committee.
She had a deputy. Who was a deputy?
Well, Dwayne Sands.
Well, let's just be
now,
clear.
Well, let's say Dwayne Sands was a deputy.
Okay,
now,
let's go.
There was a convention committee created. Dr. Minnis had Loretta Folk on that committee, knowing exactly what was going on,
mm-hmm.
how the convention was going to do be carried out, the delegate list, the voting, they were well aware. Well, we got a convention committee now. For this. Not one person from the Minnis team is on that convention committee.
Not one.
Right now.
Not one.
Not one.
And they haven't released the list.
Not one.
Not yet.
They haven't released the list. And so Jit Kamak can speak to this as someone who's been in the institution for many years and have been to many of these conventions. And we're not saying this to be mean-spirited, but I think what's important is that you ask the question. FNMs who are listening, understand that we must get past phase one, which is to vote on June 1st, in order to be battle-ready for the next general election. Unfortunately, my dear friend has had the mantle and had the opportunity to turn things around and to establish a new path of leadership. He's not been successful in doing that. I'm talking about Michael Pintard. He's not been successful in doing that. And that is nothing against Mike.
Can you put all this on Mike's shoulder?
Oh, I absolutely
There's
can.
A trifecta of leadership, which is deputy and chairman, but supposed to work in tandem to the greater objective.
Listen, the deputy leader of the party released one statement last week.
That he supports Michael Pintard.
And all I can say to you.
That's what he said.
All I can say to you.
That's what he said.
Shannon Orne Cartwright is my very dear friend.
You keep telling people he's your friend and then you're stopping him.
I don't stop nobody, man. I'm telling the truth. I say to you this. And I'll leave it like this, because I may speak to this if Michael wants me to at a later time. But that decent man called Shannon Dawn Cartwright.
You're stammering, sir. Go ahead.
I'm stammering. I let you know.
I'm not going to fight you.
That Shannon Dawn Cartwright is loved by many in the FNM. And there's a reason, you know, why he's loved by many. Because he really demonstrates the kind of principles we've all been sharing. One of democracy, one of inclusiveness of people. That's why Shannon Dawn is very popular. Now, the chairman is a whole different story. The leader is a whole different story. I love both, but the reality is reality.
My phone going crazy. It is burning up on the table. People text me and said, Mr. Grant, Mr. Harris is incorrect when they're stating those particular things. Texts are coming through. They're talking about it. I just want to be decent as possible. Call Kevin.
Yeah, tell
Kevin. You all know his number, just like your mind. Call Kevin. And you know these FNM people, they didn't even hit me on the 86 on this next one.
And I support what Kevin said.
And and Jed Kalmar supports what Kevin said.
I support everything that Kevin Harris said.
This is heavy, ladies and gentlemen. Let me take this commercial break. Ladies and gentlemen, we're here all the way down at Bahama. They got excitement going on. The balloons are coming in. They want you all to come on. I ain't seen no shaving dishes yet. But we're waiting on that. Quick commercial break, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back after this.
I gotta go out.
The foundation.
Rise and shine to the newest addition to Burger King Nassau's Breakfast Bowl collection, the Whopper Breakfast Bowl. This bowl is loaded with 100% flame-grilled beef, eggs, hash browns, pico de gallo, and a delicious three-cheese blend. It's the perfect breakfast for those who want a satisfying meal on the go. Get the new Whopper Breakfast Bowl or any other tasty BK Bowl options for a hearty breakfast made easy. Only at Burger King Nassau.
Bonneville Bones, established in 1970, is the leader in men's fashion in the Bahamas. We're conveniently located in the Mall at Marathon and the Harbor Bay Shopping Plaza, and fully stocked with everything you need for all occasions. Our Harbor Bay location is one door north of Alive, with the black and white signage of Bonneville Boutique. Both locations are open from 10 to 7 p.m. Monday through Saturday. Bonneville Bones and Bonneville Boutique, still the leader in men's fashion. Located in the Mall at Marathon and the Harbor Bay Shopping Plaza.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. You can buy your local paper at Freeport convenience stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Now is the time to reach your Grand Bahama market with affordable packages, including print and digital. Call GB News sales representative Kavondre at 822-6717 or message him on WhatsApp for ad rates. Classified ads are now available every Tuesday as well. Keep up with everything Grand Bahamian every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian.
You try to rest, roll with the best. For all your printing needs, there ain't no one better, no. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers, for window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it, just give us a call. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, quality.
Foundation. The foundation.
We are foundation. Back, ladies and gentlemen. 96.9 FM radio. Howard Grant in your company, The Foundation. It is a beautiful day. A great day to talk politics. I mean, any day is a great day to talk politics. We're down here at the Convention Center for Dr. Hubert Minnis's launch this evening at 7 p.m. Talking with Wade Guys. I want to be able to talk about these things before Renwood Wells, because he got a tip out. Before he goes, I want to be able to put some stuff on the table. Now, like I said to you, Renwood, before you go, let's shoot straight, because you and I have to have a deeper conversation about your relentless commitment for Dr. Minnis and your ideas of what could be able to come in 2024. We're going to have good conversations as we lead up to June 1st. So I want you to come on the show and talk about those things with me.
I look forward to it. I look forward to it.
So, because I got to question you on your position, question you on the position that you had in your particular capacity. I want to ask you more questions about this new hospital that's going to be coming forward, your position as Minister of Health during that particular time, and trying to make a determination as to what you see in terms of vision for moving forward. I want to ask you that. But before we go there, I said the first thing that we have to do is get beyond June 1st. So in the state of being able to talk to the electorate, in state of being able to talk to the voting delegates right now, tell me why you're supporting Dr. Minnis and what your expectations can be and what people can expect from him in this new dispensation of leadership in the event that he sees himself victorious June 1st. Talk to me about it.
Well, I'll tell you, Howard, I support Hubert Alexander Minnis because the Bahamas really needs to move into the fourth industrial age. We need to be able to put in the kind of requisite infrastructure inside of our country that's going to take us in that direction. We need to be deploying, you know, the Internet of Things in government to be able to move us forward in regards to just the digital platforms that we need. We need to be able to move our health system forward. You mentioned that. We had plans and programs in place to be able to do it, to fundamentally transform the reality, the landscape of this country. And I'll tell you this.
Are you jumping the gun?
No, I'm not jumping the gun.
Well, I say that is because you got to get to national leadership, but you got to go through local leadership within your council. So you're casting this vision to become prime minister, but as leader of the organization, what can persons expect from a newly reformed with a new invigorated vision for the Free National Movement? What can they expect from Dr. Hubert?
And that's the point. You just said it, Howard. When you choose leadership isn't, it can't be about a man. It has to be about a message. What is he speaking to? That's why I spoke about the Internet of Things. I spoke about moving into the fourth industrial age. I spoke about what needs to take place in regards to economic empowerment before when I started. I've spoken about, you know, food security, energy security, 21st century education. That's what you vote on. You don't vote on man, you vote on message. You don't vote about with idols, you vote on ideology. You don't vote about persons. You got to look at principles.
This is so philosophical.
You have to be able to say in what direction. You know, Brian and I was talking about this on that trip to Long Island. You have to be able to choose a captain who's captaining the SS Bahamas, the ship of state, into a particular direction and destination. There is a port of safety. You have to have a vision as to where you're going. And that is what people ought to be voting on. What is your vision? And not just what is your vision, but do you have the requisite skill sets to accomplish the vision you speak about? There is no doubt. Hubert Alexander Minnis has shown that he has the requisite skill sets and the vision to be able to take the ship of state, the SS Bahamas, into safe port. And listen, leadership is what has been shown by Hubert Alexander Minnis.
Don't you have a degree in theology also? You need to stop, you know. You see, you're getting philosophical with me. Listen, man, I appreciate you being able to sit here with me. Like I said, I'm going to extend an opportunity for you to be able to come sit on the show with me and be able to get some things done. I want to know a little bit more about these things, so I'm grateful to have you.
I look forward to it.
I'm grateful to have you. Ladies and gentlemen, as none other than former Cabinet Minister Randall Bells being able to sit with us and talk to us. I guess you're going to see him this evening if you come down here.
Absolutely.
At the official campaign launch for Dr. Minnis this evening. Right? It's a great conversation. I want to talk like this, man. I want to be able to hit these things. Kevin didn't put everybody name out there, Jesus God. He didn't put everybody name out there. He put everything out there. But, Brandon, you're still here, and you're still being able to talk about these things. Now, you left the Free National Movement some time ago, right? As a result of indifference in the organization, we remember it. It played out in the public, but it really propelled you to what I believe is your destiny. And I believe that our destinies are intertwined. Now, people can say, well, Jesus, Howard, you know that's your leader. There's no two ways about it. I joined the DNA, even from encouraging my mother. Now, I shouldn't tell you all this, but you know how time been done, so I can tell you. My mother would say, she'd say, baby, you need to go talk to Branford McCartney. Now, he keep talking to me, and he tell me that very man, you should come over here. She said, no, talk to my son.
Yeah.
And as a result of that, I find myself intertwined into national politics as a result of this man. Now, he's here, and he's saying to us, in his stead, in his capacity, that we've seen play out during his time in the Free National Movement, forging an organization, being able to garner a significant percentage of the vote, and now back at the Free National Movement. Talk to me about the idea about the philosophy, because I asked this before. I asked this to Renwood. Talk to me about the philosophy of the Free National Movement, and more specifically, intertwine that or wrap that in to your commitment and support for Dr. Minnis.
Let me just say, I am here in support of Dr. Minnis. I am not involved with the Free National Movement, not at this stage. What I can say, if Dr. Minnis is successful, I'll be back home.
Oh my goodness, there you go. How do you got breaking news?
I can't even breathe. hold on. I didn't expect that, Brad.
Because you asked me about...
Talk to me, Brad, let me hear it.
I'm not in the FNM.
No.
I am completely independent.
You support Dr. Minnis.
I'm completely independent, and I support Dr. Minnis full-heartedly. As a matter of fact, this is not a new occurrence. Prior to the last election, I was supportive of Dr. Minnis, having seen what transpired under his administration. And a few weeks prior to the last election, I did an interview... and they were asking me, and I basically endorsed him then, you know. So this was three years ago. You know, I would like to see him back again. I would like to see him move our country forward. I would like to see at the end of the day.
Can I say to you, just for the purposes of transparency in this conversation, these are the exact sentiments I share about you. The exact shit sentiments I share about you. I support Branville McCartney. I'd love to see him move towards leadership again. And you're saying to me, you support Dr. Minnis. It's an amazing thing. What do you think about the duo in the event that he finds himself victorious and moving towards his position as Prime Minister of the country? Do you believe that your support and others, because the team makes a difference, can be able to lead the country where we need to go 2026 and beyond?
Absolutely. I, as Renwood said earlier, you know, it's not just about one man, it's about the message. And the message would come from not only one man, but a number of persons. And I have no doubt that if Dr. Minnis is successful as Prime Minister, we finish with June 1st, you know. That one finished.
There you go. I like what you're saying, sir.
That one finished.
I like what you're saying.
That one finished. You know?
Listen to me.
That one finished. But let me...
Shorty is strong.
One thing I... You know, is, you know what Kevin was talking about is really, really heartbreaking to hear about what's really happening with the associations regarding the voting after nominations were closed. I saw where I think it's Mr. Miller wrote a letter last week bringing reference to this concern, and just on Monday the chairman of the FNM, Dr. Sands, acknowledged that they were wrong and he paused it.
That's right.
What is that telling you? Mm-hmm. Because Lord knows, if I write, only the Lord Jesus Christ could tell me I'm wrong.
Right.
But he paused it. So having said that, what I would have thought, he has acknowledged that they were doing some type of skullduggery. Mm. Bunch of foolishness. Reminiscent, as I said before, of the PLP. I mean, when Hubert Ingram was the chairman of that party.
This is heavy,
right?
Which is
very reminiscent of that. But I can tell you this as well. You know, that's FNM business. I can't get in that.
Mm-hmm. And in the public,
not yet.
And in the public.
I got in the public. But I can tell you this: the fact that they've paused and they've acknowledged, and then. Kevin, you said they continuing to still carry on the voting of
that's right.
delegates. Mm-hmm. Those associations that had elections after the nominations were called should be considered void.
That's right.
They should be considered void based on the acknowledgement of Dr. Sands pausing. And you should not let that. Yet I say, Kevin, you should not let that go. That should be considered. How undemocratic? And you've said something before, Kevin. You said something. You said, do you believe that they're doing this because they see victory right in front of their hands?
Yeah.
No. I think the opposite. They're doing that because they see defeat. And they will try everything. If you see victory in your hands, you would continue going along the way that's normal, eh?
This is a heavy
as opposed to using undemocratic methods, PLP methods, to try with election.
I can structure this like this. Give me 2 seconds, I can stretch it out, and then I want you to respond. Give me 2 seconds, I can stretch this out, and I want you to respond. My good friend, he's not here with me today, but my very good friend, Garth Roseborough, and I had very significant conversations about this. And we theorized that if we're going to an early election, because this was the chatter at the beginning of the year, if we're possibly moving towards an early election, we've seen everybody's hyped up about the by-election that's happened. It's spilled over into this year. A lot of persons are getting geared up for it. Michael Pintard sat with me on the show. And sitting with me on the show, he says he doesn't expect the PLP to go beyond September 17th. Did you listen to that show?
I did not.
Okay, so he said he didn't expect the PLP to go beyond September 17th, which is this year. So I said, of this year or 2025? He said, September 17th, Howard, this year. I said, okay. So I said, but if you don't expect him to go beyond September 17th, then I mean you should call an early convention. You should have a convention now so you can prepare yourself to move forward. Less than 2 weeks or so later, he came out and made this kind of announcement. Before that, I would have gotten calls to say that people were reaching out to the family of Allen, so forth and so on, for both Dr. Minnis and Michael Pintard. Now, these are astute men. They've identified their support. Michael Pintard, in my mind, has identified his support and came to the forefront to say, this can be the day of the convention, June 1st. You got 1 week to make, to come out into the light. No one hiding with this. You can't be able to nominate on the floor. Okay, transparency. Boom. People call me and say they didn't expect Dr. Minnis to even put his name forward. He did so. Now, watch me. Stretch it out. I finish right now. After all of that, there is still speculation of things happening untowards by sitting leadership, by the team of the sitting leadership, which I find peculiar. Now, I don't know whether or not this is the rhythm of campaigns that exist in our country or this is actually happening. I don't know. But I know that there is a contrast, and in Fred Mitchell's word, there is a philosophical difference between the FNM and the PLP. The FNM has adhere to accountability, transparency, government in the sunshine, being above board, so forth and so on. What is happening in this dispensation? The allegations are strong. Talk to me about it.
I'm going to just say a few, and I think Jed Conmer will be very great to expand on this because he's been around since the beginning of the Free National Movement, the creation of the FNM, and he can speak to our legacy of not being accustomed to what we're seeing now. What's happening now as we prepare for the convention is very disappointing to a lot of FNMs, particularly our meritorious council members, our women's association, and young people are very confused because what you have said is true. We have distinguished ourselves as being a party of transparency, accountability, and government in the sunshine. And unfortunately, and this is a decision made by the top-tier leadership, the leader, and the chairman, that they have decided to embark on a behavior and a campaign that is threatening the very essence of this upcoming vote. Why? I don't know. This is very strange for the FNM. I made this particular announcement in a meeting. I said, this behavior, what we're going through now is very strange. We're accustomed, and again, I want you to speak to this, that once a convention is called, every man goes and campaign to the delegates. You do your meetings and your little socials with them, and you try to bring them to your side. I could even recall the days of Mr. Ingram and others, and you know, it was always a fun time of campaigning for conventions. But unfortunately,
so this ain't no fun. This war.
Well,
what you talking about?
Well,
this is war.
That's why I'm saying, unfortunately, we're here today, and it's not something we're proud of. But I think it's something that has to be shared. And let me tell you why. Because my friend Michael has made a decision, and that decision, along with Dr. Sands, is to place this party in a very uncomfortable
position. It's heavy what you say.
It is heavy, and it's uncomfortable for us, and FNMs are not happy about it. And the reasons why the drumbeats are beating louder for Dr. Minnis to return is because he has been, as I shared on another program, a custodian of democracy. When Loretta Butler challenged him, we never saw this. He gave her an opportunity to make a case, never disrespected her. When others challenged him, he never disrespected him. I admired him for that. Others may have been less patient. Here's the point. Everybody, you never heard Loretta Butler come to the forefront with these allegations. We never seen it in the FNM. This is strange territory. I appeal to all of the delegates listening. Let us put down whatever feelings we have and let's look at the facts. I'm not making this up. I'm not trying to be disrespectful. But I believe Dr. Minnis deserves a fair opportunity to say to each delegate, can I have your support? I don't think we should be in the background having to compete with the kind of things we see happening. We're simply asking, once again, for the party, its leadership, to provide a free and fair playing ground of elections leading into the vote.
Do you think we've gone beyond that point now?
I do think so.
It's still time for
I think they have an opportunity to change course. Mr. Pintard and Mr. Sands has an opportunity to demonstrate to this country.
Yeah, but when I come back, I got to take this commercial break, Kevin, because you know how media goes, so I got to take this commercial break. But when I come back, I want to know, because we keep trying to identify a specific target and put it on those particular persons' back. There are zealous people who feel as though, in the event that my guy wins, I'll be in a better financial position, economic position, a position of power. And these people will do whatever it takes. Can we just levy everything at the foot of Dr. Minnis, I mean, Dr. Sands and Michael Pintard, as opposed to being able to see sort of a zealous, passionate position of those persons who support them?
As you go to your break, remember when we went into the West Grand Bahama election, and that is a whole different story, but remember we lost that. I'll never forget just posting a simple quote from John Maxwell the very next day in one of the FNM chats. Everything rises and falls at the feet of leadership. Certain persons support us, went completely bananas. Didn't say anything other than that. You know why? Because they understood that that by-election, the loss was the responsibility of the leadership.
This is heavy what you said.
And Dr. Dwayne Sands.
This is heavy what you said.
And Peter Turnquest. They were the ones in charge. And I'm not criticizing them. I'm just giving the facts. When you come back, I'd like Mr. Kulmer to talk about the ACMs and this whole matter that's also being put towards the convention. And Dr. Minnis is simply asking that the constitution of the Free National Movement is followed,
yeah,
and that we can have a free and fair election and have a wonderful time as we get ready to talk to the delegates.
Quick commercial break, ladies and gentlemen. Be right back after this.
The Foundation.
Marco's is bringing you a pizza experience like never before. Introducing our new Pizzoli baked with house-made dough. Stuffed with three fresh cheeses and premium toppings. Spiced with irresistible garlic sauce and Romeshan seasoning for only $8.95. Choose from four incredible toppings. Buffalo chicken, pepperoni, chicken bacon ranch, and pepperoni and sausage. Order now at marcospizzabahamas.com. Every store, every day. Because this is not just pizza, it's the Italian way.
Great news. Ron's Electric Motors' new location on Cowpen Road, right next to Island Luck, is open Saturdays and Sundays. So for those needing repairs on electric motors, generators, welding machines, water pumps, battery chargers, electric lifts, transformers, and power tools, Ron's Cowpen Road location can have you up and running on weekends. Don't forget, you can still visit Ron's Electric Motors on Wolf Road and Claridge Road, and now Ron's new location on Cowpen Road. Dial 356-0249 or 323-5267.
Here's to the go-getters, the early risers, and the late-night dreamers. You, the visionaries, painting futures in your mind, in your studio, your office, your sacred space. Here's to the adventurers, explorers of every realm, To you, the innovators, turning the cogs of progress in a world where connection is a lifeline, a pathway to possibilities. Alive is the perfect connection for everyone, every lifestyle, every day.
Visit BeAlive.com today.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, quality.
Foundation. The foundation. The foundation.
We are back, ladies and gentlemen, live and in full effect all the way from Bahama, May 17th, which is tonight, 7 p.m. It begins, guys, the official campaign launch for the most honorable Dr. Hubert A. Minnis. Guys, I want to thank you so very kindly. I want to be able to read a few of these texts before we get out of here. A lot of persons are sending texts and talking about those things. I'm grateful to you for being able to send that. This is Howard. Tell Kevin, Jit, and Renwood, get there. Behinds ready for a whipping come June 1st. Nothing but spinning lies and singing for supper. None of them care about the average struggles of Bahamian. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. There's another one that I just want to be decent as I say this. It says, Minnis was too snobbish. He said, next time for the poor. I think we got to touch this. Because this is going to be a recurring thing. There needs to be an explanation, because I asked Dr. Minnis at one point about his sentiments when he indicated that the Hubert Ingram era was over. And he says, no, Howard, that's not how that worked. He said, Hubert Ingram decided to step back. No one tell him. Hubert Ingram stepped back. Hubert Ingram did these things. He said, so Howard, if a man stepped back, then his time done. I said, okay. I said, Doc, you never communicated that to the Bahamian people. You didn't tell us that. I said, we had to lead with this assumption that you were just being, you know, taking on this kind of authoritarian strong position. Right. He said, no, Howard. He said that. Right? We need to understand more about this kind of a next time for the poor.
I think I was Director General of BIS at the time, and I remember hearing the sentiment expressed by the Prime Minister at that time. And I think, again, I want you to deal with this ACM thing. But I remember him making that statement that what he wanted to do, he was saying, was, look, because the weight of the office of Prime Minister is very, very heavy, I want to ensure, if given another opportunity, that I spend even more time addressing the needs of those who are the less fortunate in our country, those who are...
Because he did spend some time doing that.
He did. Well, of course, we saw what he did over the Hill. He made a commitment. Over the Hill project, he was able to successfully do that. The Small Business Development Program was also successfully established to help entrepreneurs, young people, and those who are coming from impoverished areas. Dr. Minnis and team also provided free education at BTBI and also at the College of the Bahamas. This was something that was a landmark initiative by any administration. So when you talk about identifying the needs and the aspirations of the poor, this was someone who was a champion of those initiatives. His statement, the way I took it, and I understood it to be, is he wanted to allow, if Mr. Bannister was to again serve in that capacity, to have a little bit more to shoulder, to allow him to do some programs that would even uplift more of those who were, of course, downtrodden, economically or otherwise. But again, this is a Bantam boy who was not going to forget where he came from. He was not going to leave any Bahamian behind. And he did the best he could. Perfect? No. Did everything as he would have wanted? No. That's why he's saying to the Bahamian people, I would love an opportunity to come back in, Mr. Jit Kamal, to be able to address some of those issues and to complete some of the agenda items we started. But Howard, I think our last conversation...
Yeah, Jit, we got the
about ACM,
minutes. I want to be able to talk to you about the ACMs. Tell me about, from a historic standpoint, what's happening right now.
The ACMs started as a very small group of men and women, particularly who were candidates, members of parliament.
And this ain't Anglican church men. What's the ACM? And tell them what it is.
We didn't want to just discard them after they lose an election or they quit parliament, to just throw them aside. So if there was this thought that, okay, we're going to permit you to come into council, you're able to speak when you get there, but you can't vote. You can go to convention, you can speak, but you can't vote. They were still making a contribution. But there's something laying heavy on my chest today. The Free National Movement, the state of the Free National Movement today. I have never seen my party in these kind of circumstances. We've had a leader for 2.5, almost 3 years, and he has not yet been able to make his mark on the leadership.
Right. Now, hold on. You got 3 seconds before we go to here. Now, I said something. I'm trying to be decent about this because I tell people I can take a fast from talking with them. But I want to ask you this question. Can we put his lack of being able to identify, I know what Maxwell said, as everything rises and falls with leadership, but can we put his inability to make a significant mark as leadership solely at his feet? In my view, Howard Grant, he has been both leader and chairman for some 18 months. Talk to me about it.
When you would have been in a cabinet as a minister, that is a mark of leadership, which, and I believe everybody who becomes a cabinet minister wants to become prime minister.
Well, Loftus Rocket had no desire to do that.
The government, the FNM government, for 4.5 years, carried out a full program through that term. Michael Pintard was a part of that cabinet. He became leader of the party. He took over the administration that Dr. Minnis left. And all he had to simply do is follow a blueprint.
Mm-mm.
He has not done that.
No, yeah.
And he has not done that for the specific reason because he did not want to have to say to people, it was the Minnis administration that gave us the port, that improved the education conditions in the country.
But why would he want to run away from that? He was a part of the cabinet.
Ask him. Ask him why he cannot admit that Dr. Minnis, as a prime minister, did well for the country.
And to your point and to your position, Brian, I want to be able to close with you. And to your point and to your position, I haven't heard Michael Pintard in his particular capacity being able to denigrate in the public Dr. Minnis in his position. I cannot say that he's done that. And I've been indifferent with it. I said, there hasn't been a very clear and specific position that Michael Pintard says, I'm doing this different than Dr. Minnis. Right? So it seems like he's still getting support. He was a part of the cabinet, the opportunity.
Which shadow ministry does Dr. Minnis have?
Which one?
I'm asking.
I don't think he has any.
None. If you're in opposition, you got 7 members, you should have 7 shadow cabinet ministers, right?
But he's indicated that he acknowledges Dr. Minnis and wishes he would stay in the capacity as an advisor. But Dr. Minnis says that he still has some fire in him and a vision to be able to execute some stuff. Brannigan, to be able to end with you here, go say his two
things.
Well,
I think Pintard, I could be speaking out of turn, but, Pintard was the chairman of the FNM at one stage,
yeah. Yes.
And he was asked to step down. And when Minnis really took over, Minnis gave him an opportunity to run in a constituency and then brought him around the table, the cabinet, right? You remember that? Remember
I'm
that?
Trying to forget it. Yeah. I can't even breathe right now. I'm sure about the end.
Let me just say something, right? Looking beyond June 1st, 2024, the best person to beat the PLP is Hubert Minnis.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's the show today. I want to thank you so very kindly for being able to do these things tonight. Make sure you check them out 7 p.m. down here at the Bahama Hotel, the Nassau Convention Room. They have everything available for you, New Providence Convention Room. The official campaign launch for Dr. Hubert Alexander Minnis is going to be tonight. The opening speaker introducing the Prime Minister is going to be Branville. Guys, come down here. They got food. They got everything here for you. It's going to be an absolutely wonderful time. We want to see you tonight.
I love how you say the Prime Minister. You're being prophetic right now.
I've been former Prime Minister. Guys, have a great day. See you later.
Take care.
Foundation.